The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but John came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John, where the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And the priests and Levites asked John again, "What then, are you Elijah?" John said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" they asked. John answered, "No." Then they said to John, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do they say about yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked John, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across from the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning.
Good morning.
Last week, if you would have caught the newspaper, maybe it was a small little sidebar article, the Conference Board of Canada. Now, the Conference Board of Canada is kind of this overarching economic board that makes economic forecasts, whether interest rates will rise or fall, whether the economy is doing good or poor. And they made their economic forecast for Christmas. And according to the Conference Board of Canada, the average Canadian family, and I always hate the word average because none of us are truly average, some are higher, some are lower, but nevertheless, the average Canadian family will spend about $1,600 on Christmas this year. We will spend, if we're average, about $900 on gifts. We will spend another $400 on food and related supplies that we wouldn't normally buy. Christmas lights, maybe a big turkey, beverages, these kind of things. The rest of the money we will spend on travel, going to visit grandma and grandpa, the grandchildren, aunts or uncles, whatever it may be. We will spend that money on travel. So $1,600. Good news, bad news, I don't know. But at the end of their article, the Conference Board of Canada had a word of warning for us Christmas consumers. 38% of the $1,600 that we spend, we will not have. We will put it on credit cards. We will not be able to pay it off. We will carry the interest. And that $1,600 will end up costing us, at 21% APR interest on a credit card over the span of making minimum payments, somewhere over $4,000. So their warning to us was that we are buying for ourselves a Christmas, average people, that we cannot really afford. Today we lit the candle of joy. Now, I'm not sure if debt is a joyous thing or not. I have my own belief, but I won't share that with you. I think debt is probably, I guess I will, I think debt is not something to be found a lot of joy in. When the Visa bill comes in the mailbox, I don't rub my hands with glee to open it up, I'll tell you that. Joy. The joy of Christmas. Truth be told, I talk a lot of people about Christmas, and there's often not a lot of joy. There's a lot of expectations. We have to buy this. The stores are busy. We have to go visit so-and-so. We have to do this. Things aren't coming together. There's worry about things. All sorts of activities that seem to take up a lot of our time. We're going different directions. And so I hear a lot of frustration. I can hear a lot of complaining. I can hear a lot of worry. And I can hear a lot of sadness as well. And today we talk about the joy of Christmas. We do well to look at St. Paul's word to the Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing, Paul writes. Rejoice in all things. Give thanks. Next verse, Paul gives us a way to see if this happens in our life. Paul writes, test everything. Do we test things in our life? Do we test things in our life and see if they are from God? If they are they from man? What are our Christmas expectations? What things do we look for when it comes to joy? The perfect family gathering? The perfectly decorated tree? The perfect Christmas meal? The perfect gift giving? Having the perfect family sitting around the table? Have we tested these expectations against the Word of God? Where do we find our joy? See, Paul gives us a clear blueprint. Paul says, here's how you should live your lives. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks for everything. Live lives that are grateful. And then Paul says, test everything with the Spirit. Maybe we don't test enough things. We accept lots of things. We put lots of onus on ourselves to acquire certain things, to do certain things, to accept certain things. But we should also test things. We should ask ourselves, is this from the Lord or is this a construct of man? When it comes to relationships, do we test them? Do our friendships, do they build us up or do they tear us down? And if we find our friendships tearing us down, why do we continue in them? If it is God's desire that we're able to rejoice in all things, pray with thanksgiving, to live joyful lives. Financial expectations. Do we test them against what our true needs are? Do we simply consume things because the world says, you need to own this, you need to have it? Or do we test it against the Spirit and say, do these things really bring me joy? Do I really need these things? Do they fill a real hole in my life? Or is it a hole that's been created by some outside force? Do we pray? Do we ask? Do we challenge and do we question? Because Paul says we should test all things. And if we test things, we might find that we don't think we really need those things that we say we need or that we have to have. In our places of employment, do we test our relationship to those around us? If we're waking up in the morning and we're not feeling joy for what the next 8 hours will bring us, if we wake up in the morning and we feel dread about an interaction with a coworker or a manager, if we wake up in the morning and we find ourselves trying to find an excuse for a sick day, we do well to test those emotions with the Word of God. Why are we not experiencing endless joy? Is it because there are things that are tearing us down and not building us up? Is it because we have some unresolved grief or guilt? Is there a relationship that needs fixing? Is there a place for forgiveness? Is there a place for grace? Is there a place where we should offer forgiveness? Is there a place where we should seek forgiveness? Because when we test things against the Word of God, this is how things shake out. The Word of God tells us to sift things out and to make things right. The prophet Isaiah says the Word of God takes the high hills and the mountains and turns them into flat plains. If you find yourself living a life that has great joys, but also tragic sorrows and worries, then you have high mountains and you have low valleys. Like the 23rd Psalm, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but then you come to the green pastures. And the Word of God, the prophet Isaiah says to us, we want your whole life to be the joy. So how do we level out those rough areas? How do we take care of the peaks and the valleys so that we're able to have joy without ceasing? Paul says we need to test things against the Spirit. We need to question our assumptions. Question our place in the world. Question how we interact with others. Question how we live as consumers. Question but we desire from one another. What does God say I need for a complete and joyous life? What does the world say I need for a complete and joyous life? And make choices about which direction we follow. We come to Christmas, and we're buying things we can't afford, chasing a happiness that we might never really have, expecting relationships that'll never be fully realized. And at the end of all this, when all the celebration in January 2nd rolls around, we might feel ourselves feeling deflated. Where is all this joy? People will come to church Christmas Eve, and I will talk about the hope of God, the love of Christ, the salvation of humanity, and they'll be sitting there thinking, I am simply selling a bill of goods. I am selling that which I cannot offer. I am selling that which is unattainable. I am selling that which is not realistic. But I'm not selling anything. I am presenting a worldview, what I have tested with the Word of God in my life. This is what I encourage you to do. What things keep you up at night? Who are those people you see coming down the aisle in the co-op and you want to run the other direction from? What friendships are you trying to build up? And which friends, when you see their number on the phone, you think twice about answering? This is real life stuff. And all these things don't lead to joy. All these things don't lead to you going to bed feeling at peace at night. All these things lead to what we say about the joy of Christ, the joy of Christmas, the expectation of the Messiah coming ring a little bit hollow in your ears. And I simply ask, Paul simply asks, that you test all these things with the Word of God. What does God want for us? Forgiveness, reconciliation, grace, hope, peace, love, the light of Christ. If we have things in our life that are taking us in a different direction, friendships that tear us down instead of build us up, situations in our lives which seem to leave us scratching our heads, decisions that leave us bending our morality a little bit each way to make things fit into what we think we should do, then maybe we need to separate them. Maybe we need to remove them from our lives. Today we have the words of John the Baptist. And in the following verses that we don't have today, when John the Baptist speaks of Christ, he says, he is on the threshing floor. He holds the pitchfork in his hand, and he's separating the wheat from the chaff. This is our call in our lives, to separate the wheat from the chaff, to separate the fruits of the Spirit, the things that grow new hope, the things that grow new love, the things that grow new security, new opportunities, and to separate it from the chaff. Because what is chaff? It's dead. It's supposed to be discarded. It has no value. But it takes a separation. God has given us this great miracle of Christ, the great gift of the Holy Spirit, like this little kernel of grain. But there's a lot of chaff around us, a lot of things that lead to nothing, a lot of things that simply take space and add weight but have no value. And we're called to use the Word of God to test these things in our life and to separate wheat, that which can grow, that which can sustain, that which can nourish, from the chaff, and that which simply weighs us down. It weighs us down spiritually and emotionally. It burdens our hearts. It makes our days seem long. It makes our nights seem hollow. And to discard them. It's okay. It's okay to have a worldview that puts the Word of God first. It's okay to look for relationships that build you up instead of tear you down. It's okay to seek forgiveness from someone if you've wronged them. It's okay to offer forgiveness to someone if they have wronged you. But it's not okay to simply carry the chaff of life around. Old resentments, old unfulfilled dreams, old unfulfilled expectations, old relationships that don't work out, and simply carry him around with the burden of the world. Pray in all things. Rejoice always, but also test all things. What gospel do you hold firm? The gospel that says, look, you need to spend this much. You need to travel this far. You need to eat this much. You need to do this much to have a great Christmas. Think about the questions you're always asked. What are you doing for Christmas this year? In other words, where are you going? What are you buying? Who are you seeing? What are you eating? What if you were to say, you know what, for Christmas this year, I'll light a candle, I'll pray, and I'll give thanks. People would look at you like, wow, that's so sad. You're not buying anything. You're not traveling anywhere. You're not sleeping on someone's hide-a-bed. Oh, that's horrible. Why? Because we've bought into a Christmas that has not been tested by the Word of God. We've bought into a sparkly Christmas, a loud Christmas, a Christmas of expectations. But the real miracle is our expectations have already been met. The Son of God has been born. He has walked with us. He has loved us. He has died for us and He has redeemed us. There is no gift. There is no supper. There is no travel. There is no song that will make that any more complete. We cannot add to it and we cannot subtract from it. It is complete in itself. I close simply by encouraging you. If you feel that your joy is not growing, if you feel that your happiness is not becoming more increased with every moment towards the return of Christ, if you find yourself laying in bed at night staring at the roof, if you find yourself waking up in the morning dreading the day that will come, if you find yourself not answering the phone when someone you know calls, ask yourself why. What is keeping you from experiencing joy? Joy in your family. Joy in your friendships. Joy in your place of employment. Joy with the world around you. I think the Word of God will have an answer. Something has been unrealized. There is an unrealized forgiveness. There is an unrealized hope. There is an unrealized moment of grace. There is an unrealized friendship of faith. But there is some sort of chaff that needs to be separated from the wheat of what you've created. And our calling is simply to separate the wheat from the chaff. To separate the things of God from the things of the world. To cherish the wheat. To nurture the wheat. And then we can see, as Christ will come into the world and say later, that grain of wheat will produce a crop of 1,000, 10,000 times its simple value. But the chaff never grows. The chaff never feeds. The chaff never nourishes. The chaff is always chaff. And if we simply build up things in our life which have no hope of providing for us, of sustaining us, things that we know will never give us love, this can be relationships. These can be friendships. These can be decisions. These can be things that we hold on to. But if we keep nourishing the chaff, it'll take all of our energy, it'll take all of our water, all of our sunshine. I can throw all the chaff on the ground I want. I can water it every day. I can pick the weeds from amongst it. I can give it sunshine. I can fertilize it, but it will never grow. It will always be chaff. And if we have relationships, friends or family or co-workers, if we have desires, the desires of consumerism, the desires of greed or power or lust or whatever it may be, we can nourish those things. We can put all the water on them. We can put all the love into them we want. We can put all the fertilizer onto them we want. We can tend to them. We can weed them. We can call them every day. We can give to them. But guess what? They will never grow. They will never satisfy us, and they will never nourish us, because it is only chaff. We might want it to be wheat. We might throw it in our mouth and try and eat it like wheat, but it will do nothing for us. And so we force friendships, and we force decisions, and we force questions of morality, and we bend and think we're not breaking when people ask us to compromise ourselves. And in the end, we are left feeling empty. We are spiritually empty. We are empty of joy. We are empty of hope because we have been living on chaff. We tell ourselves it's wheat. We'll just water it a little bit more. We'll fertilize it a little bit more. We'll tend to it a little bit more. We'll wait for a little more sunshine or a little better moment or whatever it may be, but it never stops being chaff. It's dust. It will yield nothing. It will give nothing. It will support nothing. But we bang our head against the wall thinking that if we try hard enough, it will produce something. And so we put all this energy into relationships and ideas and concepts, thinking that at some point in the future they will produce good fruit. And life goes on. And we don't experience joy, hope, or peace because we're too busy trying to turn this dead chaff into something that will give us life. And the process, we ignore the wheat. We ignore the good news of God's word. We ignore the greatness of worship. We enjoy the friendliness of faith. We enjoy the power. We miss the power of prayer and all these things which will grow and nourish us. And I can't figure out why that is. If I was a farmer and I saw my neighbor planting chaff in his field, I'd have a talk with him. Same is true of my friendships in my life. If I see someone putting so much effort and work into something I know will never grow into anything productive, let's have a talk. And so I end by saying, if you found yourself not really filled with joy in your personal life, in your professional life, in your life with friends and family, ask yourselves, are you feeding something? Are you nourishing something? Are you supporting something that you know is chaff? That has no expectation to ever really grow, to ever really produce, or to ever really nourish. St. Paul calls us to test things. We should test things with the Word of God. If these are things that will build us up, if these are things that will grow the fruits of the Spirit, peace, hope, and love, faith, and prayer in our lives, then we should nurture them, we should tend to them, we should celebrate them, we should enjoy them. But if these are things that we are holding on to, things that we know really in the soul of our beings will never equal anything good, then we should discard them. That can be difficult because we've put so much effort, we've put so much time, we've put so much emotional energy into these things, we want them to grow. But that does not make it so. No matter how often I stare at that big pile of chaff in my life, how much water I put on it, fertilizer and sunshine, how much I talk to it, it will never grow. And at some point, I need just to walk away and tend to that which will. And so today, as we celebrate the joy of Christmas, we are called to look at where the fruits of joy in our lives are. Give thanks to the people in your life that bring joy. Family, friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, whatever it may be, tend to those things. Tell them you appreciate them. Tell them you love them. Support them. Give them a pat on the back, a hug, or whatever. Because when you are growing these things, you are ignoring that which is already dead. Amen.